Amen. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to grab them. If you're using the Pew Bibles, turn to page 982. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 4. And I have the privilege of closing out the sermon series today on Philippians. Jeff and I had joked around and said, I guess I'm the designated closer. As a couple of sermon series in the past, I've already closed out the sermon series, so hopefully I do that justice this morning. But why don't we read together Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 23. It says this, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you, Philippians yourself, know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Your servant. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. God, I thank you for yet another opportunity to open your word and learn from you. I pray that your word may penetrate our hearts this morning, that we may be in awe of your works in the life and in the exaltation of your Son. And that we may find new joy in remembering what you have done for us. We thank you, Lord, that you can use our mistakes and our brokenness and still find glory in them. We pray this in Jesus' name, and we all say together, amen. Amen. So in our reading today, we read of the rich young ruler that was commanded by Jesus to sell all of his possessions and give his proceeds to the poor and then follow him. Now, obviously, what we've seen happen was that the rich young ruler could not do this thing. But what we see in the next chapter is we see a tax collector by the name of Zacchaeus do this very thing. He says in Luke 19, verse 8, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. This prompted Jesus to respond and say these beautiful words. He says of this man's generosity, Jesus proclaimed, today salvation has come to this man's house. See, it was the church of Philippi that time and time again exuded this type of generosity toward the Lord. See, Paul uses them as an example to the rich Corinthians when he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify. I love this. And beyond their means, of their own accord. Listen to this. Begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord. and then by the will of God to us. See, Paul viewed the church in Philippi as the real deal. He was proud of them, he cared for them, and he loved them greatly. And Paul begins this first statement by speaking unto his joy. See, this view of the Philippian generosity helps us to understand Paul's sudden burst of joy when Epaphroditus shows up to his prison cell with a love offering from the Philippians. See, Paul, like every Roman prisoner, depended upon outside support for everything he needed. Money, food, clothing, all had to come from the outside. And that's why Paul begins and says in 10a, he says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. See, Paul knew that he was always on the minds, on their minds, as they were always on his mind. Paul knew that he was loved by them just as much as he loved them. And he knew that they really cared for him as much as he cared for them. That's why he says, you were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Paul isn't writing from a place of personal pity and sulking. He isn't saying, well, finally, somebody cares about me. No, he is making known the knowledge and the reality that the Philippians have long desired to help Paul in any area and in any facet of the ministry in which God had called him to. But more than this, Paul makes clear that his joy does not come from the Philippians' generous gifts. It does not come in the Philippians providing him meals. It does not come in his access to warm clothing. No, he says this, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Now, no doubt we probably heard this from a lot of motivational speakers in our time and around the world. It's kind of mixed around a little differently. It sounds more like we should be sufficient unto ourselves for all things, right? And we will be able, by the power of our own will, to resist the force of our circumstances. Be content in all things. If you reject all these other things, then you can find this contentment in yourself. And this is a Stoic mindset. It's nothing that is new in the day of Paul. This is something that was even around. And it's a mindset that argues that contentment is the mindset of a person who has become independent of all things and of all people. But this isn't what Paul is speaking unto. No, Paul and all of us who are in Christ Jesus are God-sufficient, not self-sufficient. See, we are sufficient and content not because we are independent, but rather we are wholly and totally dependent on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. That's why Paul continues and says, I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. See, Paul speaks heavily on this total humiliation that we see in Christ throughout the book of Philippians. In Philippians 2:8, it says Christ humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. In chapter 3, verse 10, it says that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. See, this knowing of the low and the abundance was Paul's proclamation of his knowledge in sharing in humiliation and eventually in glory, which is the promise we see in our resurrection and of his resurrection. See, Paul speaks extensively in his writings about his sufferings, even echoing most times the words of Acts chapter 24 that we must endure many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Now, I don't need to bring out a list of Paul's description of his hardships and troubles, because we only need to look at our own lives to see the hardships that we've had to endure. Or if I'm honest, we need to look at the hardships that we're enduring today, right now. That's why Paul says, in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. See, this language of I have learned is this language of learning, showing that it is a secret of contentment that is learned over time. And I'll tell you something, I'm still learning it. See, that's why he says next, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is one of the most misused verses in all of Scripture. See, sometimes we use this as a motivational verse to back up our dreams, our goals, our plans, however impractical as they may be. And this contentment that is spoke of in the previous verse, in verse 12, and the confidence that we see in this verse cannot be separated from one another. We can have verse 13 without first looking at verse 12. See, whatever circumstance we find ourselves in today, we can be content and confident, not in self, but in he who strengthens us. See, this being in Christ is a constant theme throughout Scripture. Paul loves mentioning it in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Brothers and sisters, here is this truth that we see that abundance and loss, though they will be with us for a while, will soon pass away. But Christ will remain forever. This is Paul's joy, Paul's contentment, Paul's strength is found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. That is where his joy is made manifest. And he continues and speaks of the assurances for the generous. In verse 14, he says, yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. Paul points out the generous hearts of the church at Philippi by equating it to the participation with him in his troubles. See, this serves not just as a testament to the love of the Philippian church, but also to the spiritual health of the church. Generosity is in the case of Zacchaeus shows the evidence of a changed heart. But more than that, generosity also is evidence of participation and fellowship in the gospel. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Indeed, brothers and sisters, what we do with our resources shows where our heart is at. And he continues and says, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. See, when we read this the first time, the weight of these words don't truly hit us. We don't realize the immensity of the Philippians' generosity. See, the people from Philippi were stricken with poverty. That's why Paul says in the verse that as much as they could give, let's read that part again. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means. Which makes it interesting that as Paul speaks to the Corinthian church, which is filled with wealth, and prosperity, he says, concerning the Philippian church, they gave according to their means, as I can testify, beyond their means, and of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. See, this the command for us this morning speaks to generosity. But it is not a generosity that it's just a mere tithe or a giving of money. Don't worry, hold on to your wallets. I'm not gonna come after you guys this morning. See, God indeed has called his people to be generous people. Throughout Scripture, God's command is clear. Give to the poor, Give to the homeless, give to the widow, provide for the foreigner, for the refugee, for the marginalized, and the list goes on and on and on and on. And we as followers are commanded, as Jesus in the book of Hebrews, as Jesus, to go outside the camp to where Jesus bled and died. And the book of Leviticus teaches us that outside the camp are the dangerous places, the dirty places, and the despised places. This is where the writer of Hebrews ends his letter. He says, go therefore outside the camp. Be generous to the people in the despised places. Be generous to the people in the dirty places and in the dangerous places. Because brothers and sisters, God has called each one of us to be faithful stewards, not only of our resources, but of the gospel. See, let us be quick to examine ourselves on these things. Are we engaged personally in missions? Are we engaged personally in evangelism? Are we caring personally for the broken? Personally for the beaten down and for the betrayed? Because what Paul says next is this: not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. William James, the father of American philosophy, once said this: the best use of one's life is to spend it on something that will outlast it. And I see that in this passage. See, the only resources that we will ever see again is the one that we freely and openly spend and give out for others. That's why Paul says, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent and a fragrant offering. See, this mirrors the language of Romans 12, where Paul appeals to us to present our bodies as living sacrifices unto the Lord, a pleasing aroma unto the Lord. And this fragrant aroma, which we hear throughout the Old Testament and throughout Old Testament sacrifices, shows us the delight that God has in his people when they are generous. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Not all that we think we need, but all that we truly need is given to us in Jesus. See, God has supplied this to us from his riches in glory. His riches in glory. All the money in the world is not enough to amount for all that he has. Abraham Kuyper, the theologian, his most famous quote: there is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry out, mine. I believe it is safe to say that we cannot begin to fathom the supplication of every need, because we cannot begin to fathom the amount of his riches in glory. But the phrase doesn't end with riches and glory. It ends with in Christ Jesus. Because every need we have, Christ meets it. Everything that comes to us, it comes in and through Christ. He is the supplication of our needs, because he is indeed all that we've ever needed. And how ought we to respond to this truth? Well, Paul shows us. He breaks out in song. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now let's look real quick. If you can look down at that verse, verse 19 and 20 in Philippians. In verse 19, he says, my God will supply. But then in verse 20, he says, to our God. See, he sees this, that as he looks at the riches and glory and testifying to God's supplication to the Philippians, he says, God's glory will be honored and glorified forever, and this is our God, this unchanging God that will not change, that will not diminish, that will be with us in the time of abundance and be with us in the time of lack. To God be the glory forever and ever. For when God's people are generous, God's praise alone is the only proper response. Paul is careful to mark out for the Philippian church that you didn't want to be praised for this. You didn't want to be tapped on the back. No, it was alone to be given in honor and glory to the Lord. And then Paul says these last words. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. As Paul says his farewells to the church at Philippi, I can't help but think of the great words that we have heard spoken to us through Philippians in these last, 2.5 months, something like that. In chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, Paul says this, it is right for me to feel this way about you because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense of confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. He speaks of this fellowship that he finds in the Philippian church. Brothers and sisters, take heart on those who have been partakers of grace with you. Those that have walked with you in the good times and in the worst times. Those that have loved on us with the love of Christ, even when we did not deserve it. Brothers and sisters, if they are still running the race of faith, remember them today. Reach out to them today. Say, hey man, thanks for being a partaker of grace with me. Because this is an essence of joy, that fellowship with one another, we can find joy in that. And if indeed their race is finished and complete, as we think of our mentors and our the people who have discipled us in years past, if their race is complete, then relish in the fact that they are endlessly worshiping at the feet of Jesus. Paul continues in chapter 2, verses 9 and 11. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let us remember our risen King in his humility and in his exaltation. Because what this does is it breathes forth a way in which we can follow and live for him. That's why Paul, before this verse, says, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only at his own interests, but also at the interests of others. In chapter 3, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies ahead, but what lies behind, and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let our lives be lived, yearning for, straining for, pressing for what lies ahead. Let us finish our race. Let us rejoice in the Lord always. Let us live confidently in our contentment in Christ alone. And may the grace of the Lord be with your spirit. And we all say together, amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. God, we thank you so much for this letter that you have given to your brothers and sisters, to our brothers and sisters who have gone on before us, and that we can open and partake in as well. We thank you for the command to greet one another and the emphasis on our hearts to live lives together and not separately. We thank you for long-lasting friendships that you've blessed us with. And we thank you for the friendships that you will continue to bless us with and give to us until you call us home. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we say together, amen.